Andy Zanga Youth Empowerment Program, checking out with You Among the Flowers. This is Geek Speak Live with Louie and Matt. In-kind support comes from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. 948-7992. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going pretty well.
Good. Off to a good roaring start this week?
Most certainly.
Yeah.
Lots of quotes. Lots and lots of quotes.
Wow. Yeah, that.
Everyone must have got their tax refunds back.
Nice.
Okay. Or at least
I'm just getting nickeled and dimed to death, man.
Oh, man. So, it's easy to do that anymore.
Yeah.
There's so many little, $4.99 a month and $7.99 a month. And
yep.
I've cut out several of them because it's like, well, I'm not getting my money's worth out of it. So it's like, I'm going to close the account. So
tell me, Matt, do you, that whole generation of MacBooks that have the glued in batteries.
Uh-huh.
Do you do those? Do you switch those out? Do you swap them out for people?
Yeah, I found some pretty good glue remover. So
did you?
Yeah.
Okay. I found a really cool new technique, but I couldn't tell you what it is because then I'd have to kill you. So
we'll talk about an NDA after the show.
Okay, got it. So, but anyway, I mean, like, kind of just touching on that subject, there's a whole bunch of stuff that certified Apple shops are now. They've turned their backs on those. I don't know if you're aware of that or not.
Well, yeah, because they have the Apple, what do they call it, vintage?
It's a five-year.
They're doing a five-year support thing.
So if your machine is more than 5 years old. And the funny thing about it is when those MacBooks first came out, they basically, you know, said, okay, all you MacBook users, your battery's not change-outable. You can't replace the battery on it.
They told me about that for my phones. They said that about my phones too, but so far it hasn't been a problem. Yeah.
So they said, so if you need your battery changed out, take it to a Mac shop, an authorized Mac service provider. And what they do is they just replace that whole part of the computer, the whole...
Like the whole top case?
The whole bottom case.
Is that
what they call the top case?
Yeah, because you have the bottom case, which is the one you unscrew.
Okay.
And then the unibodies, the rest of it is the top case.
As opposed to the clamshell.
Right.
But anyway, so yeah, they just basically take the logic board out of this section.
And just put a new one in.
And replace this whole thing. Well.
That's insane.
Well, actually, I take it back. At first, they were like having them take the batteries out and put them in. Very shortly after that, a memo came out that said, do not do this.
Yeah. Well, if you bend a charged battery, it's going to catch on fire.
Yeah.
It's going
to
go boom.
So when I do them, first thing I do is put my fire extinguisher right next to my, on my workbench next to me. So, but anyway, just, you know, so for those of you out there who happen to have one of those, what is that, is a 2012
Retina and newer.
Or a 13 Retina. MacBook that has
the 13
non-removable battery. I'll just give a shameless plug. Just call Matterai and we'll help you out. We'll get that sucker swapped out for you. So, anyway, I came across an article on how to do it, and you basically use a piece of nylon cord.
And excellent.
Yeah, and so you basically kind of tip it up at just the right angle, and you put a little bit of the glue remover across the tops of the battery cells, and then you loop the nylon cord. Listeners, don't try this at home. But you loop the nylon cord, and you then just basically work it down like this, one cell at a time.
Yeah.
And, works like a charm. So, anyway.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KD&K, 963-2976. Call in with your questions.
Mm-hmm. Call in with your questions. If you're an adoring fan and you just want to lavish praise on Matt and I, we accept that as well. So, haven't had one of those for a while. And we got a call.
You're on with the geeks.
Hey, geeks. It's Donna. How are you?
I just knew it was you.
Did you?
I did. I just had a feeling that you were going to call.
I was getting excited when you were talking about, you know, MacBooks.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was interesting when all those new MacBooks and new computers came out, really, that new era of computers, everything was so self-contained, and you couldn't upgrade RAM, and you couldn't change the battery, and you couldn't upgrade the hard drive. You know, everything was so embedded on the logic board, and it became very difficult to fix them. So, but I tell you, if you buy a new computer, all I have to tell you is buy the warranty. Anything that goes wrong, it costs a fortune.
Yeah, because you're gonna have to have somebody there with a soldering iron and a heat gun and some very specialized tools to fix the board. So, which there are services that do that, and I've been working towards that. Yeah. But it is very complicated and time intensive.
It's not for the like those of us who used to tinker when we were younger, right? It's not for people who tinker. You have to really know what you're doing. The other thing that you had mentioned about the torquing on the battery. I mean, that's right. I mean, you tighten a screw too tight, and you don't have the logic board on one of their special plates, and you torque it at all or twist it at all, you'll break something. The inside electronics, it's just amazing how fragile they are. So,
oh, definitely.
Anyway, yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. So I don't know if you've heard this really quick, I thought I'd interject. I'm looking for the story right now as we speak, but I can't seem to locate it. I'm not using the right search terms, but there is a big lawsuit coming up. I think it's in California. It's a class action lawsuit against one of the technology companies. I think it's against the Android phone, one of the Android phones, or one of the companies that makes the Android phone. And they're basically, it's a lawsuit that could very well become precedent about these non-upgradable devices. And,
really?
Yeah, they're basically, saying that, they're asserting that that's a monopolistic behavior. It's an antitrust violation. And, it's possible, it's been speculated that if that lawsuit goes well, we may be back in the zone of being able to upgrade your own memory on your MacBook in a year or two. So let's keep our fingers crossed on that one.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I still have my MacBook from, 2009. I mean, the thing would just won't die.
I know. I get people all the time call me up. Yeah, they call me up and they're like, Do I need a new one? And I'm like, well, what does it look like? Is it silver? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, is it kind of like have like real rounded, corners, and it's only about 3/4 of an inch, 1/2 inch thick? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, nope, you don't need a new one. Sorry to tell you that. So.
Yeah. Mine's, it gets to a point where you can't upgrade the software anymore and the hardware. Yeah. Like mine was the generation just before where you could, what do you call it? Where you throw the display onto for your Apple TV,
Oh yeah. What do they call it? Casting it or
casting or mirroring?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you put a solid state hard drive in yours yet?
I have. I do. Yeah.
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 And it runs like a rocket, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's fine. I just can't upgrade the OS anymore, but I just used it the other day to help somebody who had an old Mac and needed their data off. And so I was able to use it in target mode. I had some old adapters, right? Because the older ones don't have this, you'd have to get their, whatever they're using now for the adapters. I don't even know because I don't have a new Mac.
What's the other one? Thunderbolt and Lightning Bolt? Lightning?
Yeah.
So you have Thunderbolt 1, which is a micro, or is a mini DisplayPort cable.
Yeah, one of them is just the charging and data cord for the iOS devices.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the new one is a USB-C connector, but it's wired a little differently, so it's Thunderbolt 2.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, he had an old iMac. And, people don't really realize that, when I had my shop, like one guy had spilled water or coffee or something on his computer, and we just took his hard drive out, put it in enclosure, and he's able to use it, boot from that external hard drive into his wife's computer when she wasn't using it. So they held off buying a second computer because he could still use his, so to speak, right?
Yep.
So
I do that all the time. I keep some loaners around, and people call me up with catastrophic things like that. I'm just like, hey, can you, let's get together and I'll pull the hard drive out and I'll put it in this loaner and then we'll figure, as soon as you can start doing your invoicing again, and we'll talk about how we're going to fix it, you know,
right?
The deal, you know, so.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea. Hey, I have an old MacBook Pro from 2009 if you want another loaner.
Only $350, right?
I know. I'm thinking I might sell it on Facebook Marketplace. Did you hear today about Apple iTunes?
Yes.
I did not. You guys tell me about it. So.
Go ahead, Matt.
So it looks like iTunes is dead or is dying, and it's going to be replaced with three new apps, music, TV, and podcasts.
Okay.
So, and then it looks like iPad is diverging from iOS. So there'll be iPad-specific operating system for iPads, and iOS will be on the iPhone. The one I'm really interested in is there's finally a new Mac Pro.
Yeah.
Starting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, let's see here. Up to 28 cores, up to 1.5 terabytes of memory.
And let me guess, it looks like an old style pencil sharpener, right?
No, it actually looks fairly simpler, similar to its to the old G5 and the Tower Max.
All right. So. It doesn't look like a trash can, like the.
No, it doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like the black trash can,
a small trash can. So. Okay.
So no, it looks like a kind of old school like tower, like a mid-case tower.
Okay. Okay, well,
that's
in case
great.
They ever come out with a computer that looks like an old-style pencil sharpener, just remember you heard it first here. So.
Hey, did you guys look into the Ring at all? Anybody think about the Ring that we talked about last time?
No, we have not.
The doorbell thing?
No, we've been too busy recreating out here in the rain in Colorado. So.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to make that comment about iTunes and check in with you guys. And I'll listen to the rest of the show. If I have more questions, I'll text you.
Good talking to you.
You too. Thanks so much. Have a good day.
Bye.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 963-2976. Call in with your questions.
This is our foreign correspondent, Donna Dalton, calling in from sunny Florida. So.
And
actually, sunny and probably excessively humid Florida at this point in time.
Probably,
yeah. So, because it's like almost excessively humid here. I can't imagine what it's like in Florida.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So let's see.
You're talking about right to repair a minute ago. So
yeah.
If anyone is interested in right to repair,
did you find some stuff on that?
So repair.org, because I know I'd had found it through one of my vendors. They had a banner at the top of their website a while ago, and I started looking into it, and I'd have to look and see if Colorado has made any. Progress with that. I know that I think it was Nebraska had a pretty strong legislative push for right to repair because of John Deere made proprietary firmware, so you had to go to John Deere to get the software to run your John Deere tractor.
So you got this 78-year-old farmer who's been able to till his fields every year without fail, you know, whether he used baling wire or chewing gum or duct tape or whatever to get the thing running. And one day it just comes up with the black screen of death and says, you've got to take me to the tech store. And because the firmware on your John Deere is corrupted.
Yeah, something like that. Exactly.
Yeah, no, that's actually a story that I heard, you know, it was like that is being used in an example. Yeah. And it's like, and you know, the worst thing is that these guys live, you know, they live 180, 210 miles out. And loading the John Deere up on a trailer, and you're not going to get the John Deere guys to, you know, like make a house call.
Well,
and,
you're talking about putting on a tractor trailer and moving it a couple hundred miles. That's thousands of dollars in moving fees.
You spent thousands of dollars just to get it to the place where it's going to be fixed. And then the dealer can exercise, they can basically charge you a surcharge, you know, just like a check-in fee, you know, and even though it's warranty work, you know. So anyway. I'm sorry if I interrupted you, but
no, that's entirely the point. That's something that's very, much more tangible, version of that than, you know, fixing. I mean, obviously fixing your phone's a tangible thing, but it's still something where you're talking about a device that's hundreds of thousands of dollars or, you know, even the big ones are probably closer to a million or more.
Yeah.
And
no, I mean, especially
problem.
For guys like you or me, you know, it's like, depending on what's going on, it's like, well, just plug this certain cable into it, plug into your computer, stand on one foot and hold these two buttons down while you turn your phone on, you know, and it goes into recovery mode. Well, and 45 minutes later, you're back in the game.
Yeah. I'm thinking about hacking my new TV because it didn't come with a remote. So it's got an RS-232 port on it. So
what they just, would you buy a floor model with no...
Exactly. But the IR sensor isn't working. We got a couple of universals. Couldn't get it to go. So like it has a little basic menu that's like channel up, channel down, and volume and power.
Yeah.
But you can't get to the smart TV part of it through the little button controller.
Oh, okay. That's painful.
So luckily I have a Roku, so I don't really care. But
yeah,
it's still annoying.
Yeah.
That you can't control your TV because it was really painful when I plugged in the LAN, and a little thing came up and says, "Do you want to connect to your LAN?" I'm like, "Why isn't this automatic? You should have just gone go on the network."
I wouldn't have plugged into it if I didn't want to connect to it.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
So then I was like, "Oh, I can just use my phone as a remote through the wired connection," but you have to have a remote to click yes to connect to your Wi-Fi or your local area network.
Sure.
Which is just insane.
Having a disabled or non-functioning remote is just one of the most humbling, or I don't know what you call it.
The mute button is golden.
Yeah,
exactly. That's what we've decided because I was using a monitor as a TV for a long time and it didn't have any controls, obviously. And that was the thing that then I got was gifted an old TV and it was like, we have a mute button. That was the killer app feature on a TV.
Cool.
So now we're back to sound with no mute.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that'll be fixed tomorrow, though.
Got it. So anyway, for our listeners, if anybody wants to check out the whole right to repair movement, we're not making a call to action here because we can't do that. But if you want to learn more about it, if you go to repair.org. And actually repair.org/standup, there's a page that gives you information on how you can communicate with your state legislators about the right to repair. And I think it's going to become a real issue, as we go down the road, years down. It seems to me it would be really easy for the cost of technology to just get completely out of hand.
Well, and you have the thing of Moore's law not being met anymore. So you have to get more power, to get more computing power, it's getting more expensive because the technologies to make that computing power are no longer getting half as cheap every 18 months, and the computing power doubles every 18 months. So we're stuck in a place where without major change in the silicon industry, it's going to continue to get more expensive to get more computing power. So it's an interesting problem.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we have here? Well,
sorry, I was just answering. Somebody invited me out for dinner, so I'm like, I got to respond to that.
Quit. Yeah, that's a good one to respond to.
So let's see. I was looking at a couple of... I got really deep in on the geeky stuff today, but I think I mentioned to you before the show that I had no idea that somebody was actually successfully doing gene editing over in China. And
I figured it was only a matter of time.
Yeah. Well, I know that there's been cloning, and so you can take something that, a being or a sheep or whatever, that you really like and go, I want another one of these, and you can clone it. They basically, and the goal is to make a human being that is resistant to HIV, which is a very noble effort. And they found that there were a couple of inadvertent side effects to that. One of them being that the children seemed to be capable of, I'm trying to remember.
So I know that there's increased cognition.
Yeah.
Was one of them. And the other one was reduced lifespan.
Yes. And I was just going to go deep a little. That enhances cognition and memory. And but it's kind of interesting because it comes in two different articles. The original article is dated February 21st, and it basically talks about enhanced cognition and memory. And then I think the article that just came out about the shortened lifespan actually came out today or yesterday. So as with everything, there's a price for a price for everything. There's no magic bullet. I think I would rather live a long, dumb life. That's just me talking, you know. It's like, you know, you could be Einstein until you're 70 and then you're done, or you could be Forrest Gump until you're 95, and I'll take Forrest. Nothing against Forrest Gump, don't get me wrong, you know, but anyway, that would be my choice. So, let's see here. So what, do you know anything about deep fake? You know what?
I haven't heard about that.
So it's basically used in the arena of deep fake. Now hackers are able to create highly realistic deep fake video and audio to fool.
Oh, yes, I've heard about this.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I was just kind of like,
I mean, it's just, what? you could take anyone you want, previous presidents, current presidents, heads of state, as long as you have enough ancillary information about mm-hmm. them, you know, pictures and voice. I'm not sure exactly how much information you need, but at some point you can basically make a avatar that'll say anything you want, and it'll sound basically to the point where forensics can't tell the difference between the real person and the avatar.
Really? Okay. Got it.
Because this
first page I came up with is these are all fake faces.
Mm-hmm.
I wish the people on the radio could see this. None of them actually exist. They're all fake faces.
No,
they're not real.
Without looking at them very closely, they look real to me.
Yeah.
So exactly.
Wait, I went to college with that guy. No, not.
Nope, fake faces.
Yeah, fake face.
Which the fashion industry have been using for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Many years at this point.
Okay.
But I think they've become very good at it.
Uh-huh.
But the video is the next step, because you have the motion and the sound that you have to fake as mm-hmm. well. But they're it's getting very good very quickly.
Wow, that is just stunning. I when I was up in Wyoming, we were hanging out with some of the younger generation. Allow me to sound old for a minute here, and they were playing around with Snapchat. I don't know if you've ever played around with that or not.
Not very much.
Yeah, I mean, people have told me what it's about, and I have no interest in it. But they have a thing in there called filters,
mm-hmm.
and you can basically, like, you switch over to the filter, and it's like, here's a filter that will make men look. You can see what your female uh-huh. counterpart would look like.
Yeah, one of our family members did that with their family.
Okay, it's highly disturbing.
It is. One of my family members did that.
I'll have you know that I look like Barbara Streisand. I'm just saying, you know. Which, I mean, I would have never thought that, you know, that she would be my female avatar. But anyway, so it did spawn the idea that, you know, maybe there's a future for me as a Barbara Streisand impersonator. So
yeah. Shave up and make everything all soft.
Definitely shave up.
Well, maybe not.
So yeah, I really do. I got to learn how to cross my eyes while I sing. That's the other part.
Other big tell.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So if there's anybody out there that hasn't checked out the Snapchat face filters, and you're just extremely bored one day, get on there and check it out. So, and let's see, what else do we have here?
That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah.
Oh, there we are.
There we go. Saved by the Bell.
All right. Yeah. Let's see, get my calendar up so I can tell you when the next Geek Speak is. You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louis Gerardo from Louis the Computer Guy.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
You're welcome.
And we'll be back on the 17th of June, right?
Correct. That's what I have on my calendar.
All right. That's Strawberry Days week, I think. We'll be gearing up for Strawberry Days.
Oh, boy.
So we'll have tips on how you can fine-tune your strawberry.
Yeah.
So.
Well, enjoy your summer until the rain comes back.
Yeah.